Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey Jets fans, want $50 off your next round of drinks? Try TapRM. They deliver the drinks right to your door so you can skip the lines and trips to the liquor store. Discover new and exclusive drinks or shop for your favorites. Don't worry, they've got all the options for you. Order your first round at TapRM.com and get $50 off your first order using promo code JETS50. $50 off $100 a beer, not a bad deal. I would highly recommend it. I've done it. Connor's done it. Joe's gotten it. So make sure you go to TapRM.com, use promo code JETS50, skip the lines, and get $50 off your first $100 worth of beer. $100 in beer for $50, can't beat that. Now let's get into the pod.
Setting up, looking downfield. He's going to heave a bomb for Corey Davis at the goal line, into the end zone. He's got it! That's a Jet touchdown!
Select Zach Wilson, quarterback, BYU.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Turn of the Jets podcast. I'm your host, Will Parkinson, at WillPaw11 on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Just me today, solo pod, and then next week we have a big episode. Kerry Rhodes and Steve Gelbs will be hopping on the show, and a pretty big episode there, so stay tuned for that one. But first, a big weekend for we get Jets football back after a long week off. Last week, it was a pretty enjoyable weekend for Jets fans. Obviously, the Dolphins, Panthers, Giants, Pats, Bills, the list goes on, all lost. Seattle lost as well, so Sam Darnold didn't play well. Robbie Anderson didn't play well. Jamal took a ball off the face. Geno fumbled the game away. It was just a lot of interesting Jets, you know, former Jets moments there. Jets are going and travel up to New England tomorrow. It's going to be it's a very pivotal matchup for the Jets. Obviously, started out season 1-4, had some moments, but fans are kind of still feeling like that same old feeling. The Jets have not beaten New England. I believe in 11 straight tries. They have gone 2-19 versus them the last 10 years, have not won in New England since 2008 in the regular season. The list kind of goes on. For this so-called rivalry to, kind of take that next turn, the Jets are going to have to kind of turn the tide here and show up in a big way on Sunday. I'll get into a little bit of the offensive preview, defensive preview, and, my prediction right at the end. But, initial takes, from the week. Obviously, the big news, C.J. Mosley, is going to be a game-time decision. He'll try to run out and test that hamstring out tomorrow. He's not practiced this week at all. Something that flared up the second-to-last play against Atlanta. He obviously needs to play for the Jets to have a real true chance, in my opinion, on Sunday. He does so much between communication and defense. Getting everyone aligned on the defensive side of the ball, but also his ability to cover both backs and tight ends out of the backfield. The Patriots obviously use a ton of tight end. A ton of 12 personnel. They want to pound the ball with Tamondre Stevenson, Damian Harris, and company. And the Jets are going to have to hope Mosley's hamstring holds up early in warmups and see how he's able to go Sunday. Some positive injury news. Marcus May is back. I know he's a guy the fan base is, I'm not it's kind of indifferent on right now just because of the trade stuff from his agent and, all those types of things and wanting a long-term deal. Marcus is back. I know people, don't think safety is that important, and I understand. But if you watched last weekend against Kyle Pitts or 2 weeks ago against Kyle Pitts, it is important that Jets have safeties that can cover tight ends. Ashton Davis still working his way back and has looked like a guy who needs some game reps to get going here. You had Colbert, Neesman, and those guys. But it's important that Marcus May back. He played really well in the first matchup, caused that early turnover that was ruled out because forward progress in the refs who have been awful all year, botched that a little bit, but, I think he has sack as well, I believe. So Marcus May back, helps a bunch. Tyler Croft is not going to play this week. The Jets are going to be Ryan Griffin. Daniel Brown and potentially Kenny Yeboah. So, you know, there's that from that perspective. But overall, the Jets pretty much fully healthy. Obviously, Becton, Lawson, you know, Joiner, long-term IR guys are not back. But, you know, Patriots have had a ton of injuries. There's like 12 or 13 guys on their injury report that have been limited all week. We'll see what happens there. Now, a lot of times, you know, those guys will end up going. So we'll get into the offensive side of the ball. You know, after this, but you know, big matchup on Sunday for the Jets and Patriots. I'll get into the defensive side of the ball first. Obviously, the offensive side of the ball is kind of where the game is going to be won and lost. But defensively, the Jets are in for, you know, an interesting matchup. I think the Patriots and Jets match up well. You know, from a Jets perspective, defensively, I think the Patriots, you know, do a lot of bend don't break type of offense. They're kind of modeled around sustained drives, taking care of the football. Attacking the middle of the field. They're not going to burn you necessarily. Jakobi Meyers is a nice player. Nelson Aguilar has his moments of being a nice player. Kendrick Bourne as well. But they're not going to burn you too much down the field. A lot of, I think, 60 or 72% of Mac Jones' throws have been over the middle of the field. Patriots offense built around those two tight ends, running game. Like I said, long sustained drives, not beating yourself. And the Jets defense is, you know, built around not giving up that big play as well and kind of you know, getting pressure with four and five guys and you know, you relying on those safeties and linebackers to cover space. So, you know, it's going to be an interesting matchup. Again, CJ Mosley, whether he plays or not, is going to have a huge impact on this game, you know, the result overall. You know, Mac Jones has improved each week. I think in some senses, the playbook has slowly started to open a little bit. I still think that the Jets would rather Mac Jones beat them than this running game. You know, I truly think they're going to try to put the, you know, the game in Mac Jones' hands and say, you know, beat us. And much respect if as a rookie, you know, you go and beat us. But from Mac's perspective, again, he's had some moments. He's looked pretty good, but I also feel like we haven't talked enough about the 9 turnovers he's got, 3 fumbles, 6 interceptions. Since that Jets game, I think he's started picking every single game, 2 in one game as well. So I'm interested to see how the Jets attack him. You're going to need big games out of the defensive line. Quinnen Williams, Sheldon Rankins, Foley Fatukasi are going to need to be really big in the run game, as well as wreaking havoc up the middle, getting Mac Jones off his spot. You know, when they go to those 5 and 7 step drops have gotten Mac Jones killed, you know, this year. You heard it on the Badlands pod. You saw it last week. Randy Gregory, you know, destroyed Mac Jones in a nice 5-step drop. John Franklin Myers, Bryce Huff specifically are going to have to get pressure, you know, and win their individual matchups. No Trent Brown helps. So, you know, the Jets are going to have to really, you know, get after Mac Jones, get him off his spot, try to make him, you know, force him to be a hero, you know, and they're going to have to cause turnovers. I think the Jets are going to need to get maybe an interception, a fumble recovery, flip the field, get your offense extra possessions, you know, and try to go. That's how you kind of win games on the road. You win that turnover battle, and the Jets are going to have to start creating turnovers, you know, more and more. I know they created 2 fumbles in the Atlanta game, still without an interception on the season. So, you know, you have to see that kind of that pick itself up. I would expect the Jets to rely heavily on Michael Carter and Javelin Guidry in the slot with guys like Jakobi Meyers, Nelson Aguilar, and then those tight ends. They're going to need to have a big game. And then just Bryce Hall and you know, Brandon Echols to be stable outside, you know, bend, don't break. Don't give up that big play that's going to, you know, get that Gillette crowd going crazy and, you know, kind of lose that momentum. So defensively, again, create turnovers, have got to stop the run and get pressure with 4 or 5, get Mac off his spot, get him feeling antsy and uncomfortable. And that's how, you know, you can go to win the ball game. Something a lot. New Orleans did really well. Dallas started to do well at the end of the game. You know, the Dolphins did really well forcing their turnovers. The Jets, frankly, did well in week 2, but, you know, the Patriots offense is better than it was then. You know, the Jets defense can have to kind of play a similar game other than that one drive, that one run from Damian Harris. So I expect the defense to have a solid day, hold the Patriots to, you know, if they can hold them between 17 and 24 points to give that Jets offense a chance, which we'll get into right after this.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
Getting into the offensive side of the ball for the Jets, I think it's pretty self-explanatory what we've witnessed In recent memory of Jets quarterbacks, and even when the Jets, you know, were winning a majority of those battles, especially, you know, with Mark Sanchez, it felt like until that playoff game, it was a lot of Jets defense getting Tom Brady under pressure, holding them to 14, between 10 and 17 points, and manufacturing a run game and some good red zone stuff. Look, Zach struggled. Obviously, I don't think I need to remind people of, you know, how bad week two was. You know, being that home opener, that was obviously a crushing blow from the fact that you really felt like fan base was could not have been more excited and obviously zapped all the energy out of, you know, out of that game. But I think Zach should be able to improve this week. You know, the Patriots obviously did not get Stephon Gilmore back. They dealt him. They've got some, you know, Matt Judon, the guy they're going to have to stop and key on in the pass game, Christian Barmore as well. From a defensive line perspective, the offensive line for the Jets has been pretty good. I know George Fant is not allowed. Has been pretty solid, honestly. Left tackle, Morgan Moses at right, Elijah Vera Tucker coming into his own. McGovern's great at well from a PFF perspective. Not so sure he's quite as good as they have him rated. And then obviously GVR has had his struggles. So the offensive line is going to have to, you know, get something going in the run game. The Jets are just like, it feels like it's every single run is a 3 yard run. Negative two, five, three. Like it's just, they haven't had that pop yet in the run game. Michael Carter's shown some flashes, but have not been able to really establish that run. That'll help open a play action, make things easier for Zach. But, you know, that's something that they're going to have to desperately, you know, work on. They ran the ball really well, actually. The one game they did, it was against New England. Funny enough, I felt like they played a good team game defensively. And in the run game, obviously, the four turnovers, you know, killed them. But, you know, offensive line is going to have to stop Judon, going to have to stop Christian Barmore, who's been limited and out of practice a lot this week. So he's a name to watch. From a Zach Wilson perspective, the biggest key for him is to not go into a shell. I really, truly think that if he gets into a shell early, he's not aggressive. And then if he throws an interception, you know, obviously, hopefully he does not. But if he does, which, you know, it's likely he's throwing one in every game, to not go into that shell and get gun shy, that will be something that's really, frankly, difficult to watch. If it gets down to that, I don't believe it will. I think Zach, that bye week came in a good time for this offense. They will self-evaluate, LaFleur evaluate himself, his offensive staff, his personnel usage, play calling, Zach the same. You know, everyone kind of, you know, kind of the same in that sense. And this energy, you know, refresh, it's a young team. You get yourself over hyped up and then, you know, you get good away at 1-4. You had a big, they've had 2 weeks to prepare. They've got to do a good job from a personnel perspective. You don't want to go empty and 10 personnel as much as, you know, too much against New England, but the heavy 12 personnel with two-man routes against seven guys in coverage is not going to cut it, which is something that happened obviously a lot in the first matchup. So get Elijah Moore involved early and often. He had a nice game against New England, and with a better throw from Zach on one of the balls, I think he probably scores a touchdown and his numbers look a little different. The Patriots are going to probably try to take away Corey Davis, take away Jamison Crowder. Creates huge, you know, opportunities for Elijah Moore, Denzel Mims, Keelan Cole to make impacts in this game. Michael Carter in the pass game. I'd like to see Zach eclipse 200 yards. I'd like to see him play, you know, between zero and one interception football, score a couple of touchdowns, get off to a fast start, get that confidence going, maybe take a shot early. If you don't take a shot early, at least try to get some quick, you know, easy throws going, you know, let Zach kind of get into a little bit of a rhythm, start to feel himself a little bit. You know, quiet that New England crowd down. It will be loud in there. It's a, you know, going to have the refs on your side. You know, the Patriots, although they are 0-4 at home to date, they are still a good team at home. And the Jets obviously, you know, find it almost impossible to win there. So, like I said, got to get off to a fast start. Got to get guys like Moore involved, Mims, in addition to Corey Davis and Jamison Crowder, who, you know, you expect good things from. So, again, no Tyler Kroft this week, which means, you know, more Ryan Griffin, more Daniel Brown, which he obviously would like to temper expectations with those guys, you know, without going on a rant about that. Offensive line just establishing themselves, winning the line of scrimmage, come out firing, you know, on both sides of the ball, but specifically on offense. You know, you cannot lose that line of scrimmage battle. Judon's a nice player, and he's had a really good, you know, really good season so far. But, you know, if you want to have guys stay in a chip and help Moses and Fant, that's great, but you need to, you know, get guys out. They'll take shots. The Patriots are going to play a lot of man. They're going to challenge Zach Wilson. He's going to have to kind of respond to the challenge and, you know, keep his mechanics intact, throwing to the right, throwing to the left, quick decision-making, all those different types of things. You just want to see improvement from Zach. And, you know, I think that's the biggest thing. The Jets, again, got to start early, got to score points, even if it's a field goal in the first quarter. Just really, you know, showing like, there is some improvement in kind of not just talking about it all week. And the energy seems great. And Corey Davis has mentioned it, and Wilson and LaFleur and Salah. But Salah put it today, like, you know, it's put up or shut up. And the Jets are going to have to go into New England at one of these points and win. Yes, I understand New England still has that aura of Tom Brady and Belichick and the refs and this, you know, imposing environment. But, you know, they are 2-4. They're 0-4 at home. They get 550 yards of offense last week. And as great as the Cowboys offense is, they turn the ball over multiple times and Dak still threw for almost 500 yards. They can give up points. New Orleans went in there and was able to do so. Miami went in there, was able to do so. You know, Tampa in the rain, obviously is a different story. And, you know, the Patriots have definitely played up to their competition and down as well. You know, Davis Mills, 40 yards, 4 picks 1 week, the next week against New England. I think he threw for about 300 yards and 3 touchdowns. So there's no excuses for this game to not be competitive. The Jets have zero reason to not be competitive. This is a 2-4 New England team. And yes, they've lost a bunch of, like, again, last second games. They also got the doors blown off by New Orleans in, you know, in New England after that Jets game. So 25-6 with 3 interceptions. It's not going to cut it anymore. 2 weeks to prepare. Got to come out fast. Got to come out firing. All the energy in the world. You're a young football team. You should feel desperate to get a W up in New England. Flip the narrative, and then you go into, you know, Cincinnati, you know, coming into your building. Indy, both, you know, good teams, but beatable. Like, you have a good opportunity here to, you know, stack together some good, you know, good performances coming out of the bye. And yes, we'll get into prediction time. I do not think the Jets win this game. Would I love to be wrong? Of course. It's really hard to pick the Jets against New England until they prove they can beat them. I'm going to go 27-17 as my final prediction here. I think the Jets keep it close. Kind of a similar game to the Atlanta game in terms of the scoreline, where, like, they got to get a stop at the end. They don't let the Patriots kick a field goal and the Jets kind of run out of time. But I think Zach Wilson gets 2 touchdowns. I think he goes, you know, something in the 21 for 37 for 240 and 2 touchdowns and a pick. I think he maybe has a fumble as well, so 2 turnovers, but plays pretty well. Looks competent throughout the game. The Jets get off to a good start. It's a, you know, 24-17 game with 5 minutes left, and the Jets are in that game. So I think the Patriots cover. I think the Jets keep it close, but eventually are not able to pull it out. Again, I'd love to be wrong. So short episode today. We have Steve Gelbs, Kerry Rhodes coming on next week. Guys like Tim Jenkins, quarterback guru, will be on. There's a bunch of other people coming on the docket. You know, some Jets players, some coaching staff, you know, some ESPN personalities as well. So, you know, stay tuned for that. November 4th, come out. If you're listening to the pod, you probably listen to Badlands as well. Come out, meet me, Joe, Connor, you know, and crew. You know, $48 all you could drink, Shepherd Knucklehead in Hoboken, as well as using that Jets 50 promo code on taprm.com. I put my order in for the weekend, $100 a beer for 50 bucks. Can't beat that. So, you know, enjoy the game on Sunday. Hopefully it's better than the last 11 Patriots Jets games. And, you know, we'll talk to you guys next week.